I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It's Monday, June 8th. Mailbag Monday time. Look, we understand that right now, football might very well be the furthest thing from your mind. It is the off season, which means that people, usually wonder about, what we will talk about anyway. But in this particular case, we had a, distinct amount of social issues come forward directly out of a pandemic, which probably amplified things a bit. And there's a lot going on in the world right now. So we understand if you're not listening as much as you typically do. We understand if you think a sports podcast is silly and given all the circumstances in the world right now. And we understand you you may not want distractions from what's going on outside, around the globe. But we hope you listen and read things other than us and more important than us. But if you want a 15, 30, 45 minutes a day break, we're going to try to keep offering that to you. And, you know, we have these all 32 podcasts we're doing as well, which, you know, they drill down into specific teams. And so, you know, if there is something specific related to a team that's happening out there, Drew Brees, maybe we'll talk about that with the Saints podcast. But it's a football show. Keep talking football. You can, speaking of football guys, we got a father-son duo coming up tomorrow. Jim and John Breach appearing on the Bengals All 32 podcast. We could not be more excited. I was under the impression that Breach would be doing some legwork while I was on vacation, but I'm not leaving next week. But sure, knock it out. Appreciate it. Appreciate you, Breach.
Yeah, the irony here is that I'm doing legwork while I'm on vacation because I am off on June 9th, but I am giving the listeners what they want. You know, Father's Day is right around the corner. Why not bring my dad on the podcast?
So is it fair to say that John Breach is to Andy Dalton as Jim Breach is to Ken Anderson, or is he a huge Andy Dalton fan too?
You'll have to listen to the podcast, and I'll ask him that question. But he was teammates with Ken Anderson, so I think he feels strongly about Ken Anderson, but you know,
Ken Anderson went to a Super Bowl and Andy Dalton didn't win a playoff game. I'm guessing he's more of a Ken Anderson fan.
Can you keep Andy Dalton's name off your lips?
Can you tell me this, Breach? Who grew the mustache first, Ken Anderson or Jim Breach?
I think that was a Ken Anderson original.
There you go.
I think like 84% of men in America had mustaches around that time.
Ken Anderson came in because I was a huge Bengals fan at the time because there were only two teams that played on television, the Bengals and the
Florida. What a twist.
Yeah, I told you this back in the early 80s.
Yeah, but now the listeners are learning.
Yeah, Ken Anderson did not have a mustache when he came in, if I recall correctly. Then he went full out Tom Selleck.
My dad had a mustache for 30 years and then finally shaved it, and it was so weird.
Yeah, it is weird. You don't have lips, even though you did have lips before.
Yeah, you're like, what is that space between your nose and your mouth?
Before I was born, my dad used to have a really thick mustache, and my older sister she came home one day and he was completely clean shaven because he had shaved it off, and she was pretty young and she thought he was a completely different person and was like running out of the house because she was terrified. And so when my dad did it, he grew it back and then he did it later. He made a point to actually do it in front of my other sister so that she could actually see him in the process of taking off all the facial hair.
All I think Sean's telling that story is there's no way Sean could grow a mustache.
That's all I can think too.
I actually shaved this morning.
Yeah, sure you did.
I was just staring at Sean's face thinking he didn't have a hair on his face.
I literally shaved this morning. This is not fair. It looked terrible because I went a week without shaving, but
I might be beard for life. I hope my wife is prepared for that. I don't think she is. I think she thinks that after the quarantine ends that I'm probably going to shave.
Honestly, if you go back and look at the Pick Six podcast on the YouTube feed, you look weird unshaven.
Really? Because it's just been that long?
Yeah.
I forgot that you used to be clean shaven when we first started this podcast.
Almost like 24/7. Like, I mean, I always have like scruff or whatever, but like typically speaking, I would shave before I did HQ hits. No mas.
I think whatever bets we make this season, whether it's Garrett Bradbury winning Rookie of the Year or betting on there's no way the Saints can win in Seattle, whatever we bet on, the loser has to grow a mustache for a week because we know Brinson can grow a mustache. Yeah, shave the beard and keep the mustache, Brinson.
Yeah, I like that. And speaking of YouTube, we actually have a separate YouTube channel all for just Pick Six shows. So you can go and check that out. This podcast might be part of it. We're going to be doing some more video stuff moving forward, so that'll be exciting. Go to Pick Six on your Twitter account, and you can find that link or search Pick Six Podcast on YouTube. I'm sure it'll pop up. It's like part of a CBS Sports channel. It's weird how YouTube's splitting it up, but you can check those out. All right, let's get to a mailbag.
Mailbag.
Mailbag. Good job, Breach. So this is from S.J. Cates. Darren Erstadt. Hey guys, love the pod. The punter baseball player you were thinking of probably was Darren Erstadt. He punted for Nebraska's 94 national championship team. Is that right, Ryan?
That is exactly right. Well done. Thank you for, I never would have figured it out. Erstadt never played football in the NFL. I think he went right to baseball. He was a punter for Nebraska. Boom. That's it. I was off by four or five people, but thankfully, I've been corrected. So I love it.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot to add to that.
No.
But I appreciate him doing that. By the way, World Series champion in 2002 with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
S.J. Cates was yelling at his listening devices. I was stumbling around trying to figure out who it was. So thank you for your kind response.
In this YouTube, oh, wow, I do look weird without a beard. I don't know that I can ever shave again.
Come on. I mean, you got to shave at some point. You can't not ever shave again.
Why?
There's gonna be like birds in your beard. It's like the episode of Family Guy where
you can trim it up.
Do you reboot your beard every?
I trim it every few. I've trimmed it twice during quarantine.
Trimming is different.
Yeah, I don't.
That was a fake beard.
You don't like every like 6 months. You're not like shaving it off and regrowing it, are you?
I mean, it's not your business what I do with my beard.
I think it is my business. You just told me.
We don't want to know about Breach's hygiene habits.
We really don't. Breach shaves, puts the hair in a bag, and like reheats it the next day for lunch.
We know that Breach like doesn't wear a shirt when he cuts grass. If you told me that Breach got completely buck naked to shave his face, I would totally believe.
Stripping down, Rachel's like, "What are you doing? Shaving?" Yeah,
exactly.
I do think though that sometimes. Like you could start growing a beard, and Sean, you can't really contribute this part of the conversation. But sometimes you can start growing a beard, and you'll be like, this isn't a good grow." Like that, sometimes you feel like you have different grows. You know what I'm saying?
That's how I feel every week. Oh,
there you go.
I think part of the bet should also be that Sean has to not shave like for. Probably
that's what I'm saying. You have to multiply it by like eight,
right?
To apply to me.
Okay, moving along in the mailbag. Here is my question for the mailbag from. Somebody. As a thought experiment, how would things look if the NFL released the next season's schedule right after the Super Bowl? There's always talked about a team's Super Bowl window, and teams knew how difficult, easy their schedule was going into free agency in the draft. How do you guys think that would look? Breach, this is your wheelhouse.
Well, a crazy thing about the NFL schedule is I think that when it gets released on the release day, a lot of people think that that is the first we know of the schedule. But when in fact, the day after the Super Bowl, the day that this person is suggesting, teams already know every team they're going to play. They know all 16 games on their schedule. So they're not learning anything new on the schedule release day, except what days they are going to play their opponents. And I'll even go a step further here. Teams actually know all the opponents they're going to play, for the rest of time because it's on a rotation or 14 of their 16 opponents. There's only two new ones decided each year. And that's because you play the two, non-divisional teams that you don't usually play, who finish in the same spot in the standing. So for instance, if we took the Cowboys, you could look up 14 of the 16 opponents the Cowboys are going to play in 2028 because this rotation is just set in stone. So I do think it would be fun to have the schedule come out, you know, maybe a week or two after the Super Bowl because it'd be a nice talking piece. But I also like this new thing where it's coming out in May because it keeps the NFL calendar going, gives us something to do in May. So I think they should permanently do it in May on Cinco de Mayo because I'm part Mexican.
Didn't know that. Just kidding. The NFL ain't changing that. They mashed this thing out into a 3-hour schedule release every year in April or May. They did it during a quarantine. Like they had a schedule analysis. We did 6 hours of schedule analysis on CBS Sports HQ.
And then podcast afterwards.
And then did a podcast afterwards. Like my wife's like, what do you mean you have to work for 9 hours? There's no football on and it's a quarantine. I was like, I don't know either, honey, but you know, they pay the bills. So going to do what they say. I'm with Breach. Also, I think the other thing too is like, you know, we talk about strength of schedule and who you have to play, what's easy and what's hard, but like you don't really know until you actually get into the season. I mean, not just for teams who get better or worse throughout the course of the year, but like, you know, the Steelers looked like a tough game going into 2019 and they were still a difficult team and they played well, but like without Ben Roethlisberger, it drastically changes how everything's set up.
Yep, I agree.
Okay. Return to HQ broadcast from Fred Eugene. When are you guys going to return to HQ live broadcast? I miss seeing all you guys. Well, Fred, I would say that nothing is certain in the future. Even day to day. Live day to day. I don't know. We have YouTube now, I guess. We don't know. We don't care. We don't want to go back.
Well, it's also one thing, like, if there's stuff, like, right now there's not that much to talk about. And, like, that was, you know, we all got fatigued by the end when it was, like, jersey grades. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, if there's something weekly going on.
Sean, don't bash jersey grades.
I literally
hate jersey grades. Or, like, Jadeavion Clowney.
I literally banned us from speaking about Jadeavion Clowney live on air. Like, it's enough. Enough is enough. Yeah. Go ahead, Sean. Sorry.
Oh, it's just like maybe when there's something to actually talk about, something new to talk about, because right now we're in the recycle, go over everything that already happened phase of the offseason.
I mean, if you told me that we were getting a daily HQ show during the NFL season, I wouldn't be entirely shocked. I don't know that they'll do it if life is back to quote unquote normal, and all the offices are open because just by the nature, you know, of expensive cameras in a studio, the production quality at the CBS offices is going to be better than four of us yelling at microphones from our respective residences.
Should probably explain that though, is that we are basically called out of the bullpen due to the whole pandemic because our studios got shut down. They said, hey, the Super Friends are set up to have a fun show. Let's give them one. So we kind of came out of the bullpen, ran the show off for a month. And you know what? If we get called up again, we'll be ready to roll, right?
I think it was 2 months. 2 months. We thought it was a week. We thought it was free agency.
Yeah, no, that's actually what happened is, they wanted us to do a show during free agency as a way, like you fill it up space. We're cheap labor. You know, you don't have to have a big production, set up to operate us. Like they have a couple guys. I mean, you know, there are people working behind the scenes, of course. But you know, it's not a big to do. I don't think it is anyway. Debo, is it a big to do?
Oh, yeah. Debo hung up on you.
Debo doesn't want to participate in this podcast.
He's on mute. He didn't realize it.
I thought it'd be June 4th, which is when Debo would mute us during the podcast.
It's a to do, but that's, again, you guys are, your faces are going to be seen on YouTube moving forward. Yeah.
A daily YouTube show?
I mean, each episode we do will be on YouTube.
Okay. All right. That's fine. So, You'll be able to get plenty of us if you want to see our faces. And
Fred Eugene actually liked the broadcast show, which is we weren't sure anyone liked it. So at least
I thought it was a good show.
I was going to say we found the person watching it, so thank you.
No, I think the ratings. I looked at the ratings a couple times, and it seemed to spike a little bit. But but you know, whatever. Okay, moving along. So hopefully we'll be back on video sooner rather than later. I would anticipate that because of how well the show went on HQ, and I think it was well received, unless people are just bad mouthing us behind our backs, which is entirely possible. That at some point that we will see an increased, role in video content come the 2020 season. Even more so if, we are forced into our houses for another second wave of the pandemic.
And even more so if Brinson has a mustache.
Yeah. By the way, it's 90 degrees in my office. I mean, I don't know if you can tell this, but like, I set this beer can on my desk and a puddle formed underneath it. I mean,
you don't have air conditioning in North Carolina?
I do, but I just sort of up here, you know, a t-shirt.
Think about taking off the toupee and letting your head get a little hair.
That's the other thing about the beard. Summertime beard.
If you get your haircut like Sean, the beard won't matter.
True.
But you'll look like Sean.
Never do that though.
Ryan also, by the way, does this thing where I start to grow my hair out a bit and he gets on me from the beginning to cut my hair. And then I actually finally do it. I finally, you know, purchase clippers, cut my hair, and now he's dunking on me for the haircut I have. I can't win with this guy. Do you want me to start wearing hats for the podcast?
No. Just like I tell my kids, I want you to shave your head so you can share the same plight I have to share.
That day is coming at some point.
By the way, I don't know if we can do branding on here. New Belgium, sour IPA. I'm not usually a big sour IPA guy. This is very good.
Two of the things I hate most, sour beer and IPAs.
It doesn't taste like an IPA at all. This is
and Brinson. So that's three.
The first time I went to our local brewery down the street, it's actually a really good place. And I was trying sour beer for the first time.
What's the name of it?
It is called WT Brews. WT stands for white trash, I later found out. So WT Brews. But it's good. It's good. I'm just telling you the name of the place.
It's got a 4.7 on Google.
Oh, look at that. You looked it up quickly. Nice.
How did you tie? Wait. How?
I know where this is going.
How does it take you 6.5 hours to write your picks overnight and you can type that fast? Like
WT Brews literally has five letters in it. Five letters.
Yeah, but Breach, we always theorize you type like this, you know, with the fingers. So that now we don't know why it takes you so long to write your picks.
The theory is he does type like that. But he does the swipe to type on his phone. So if he did swipe to type for his columns, he would be done 60% sooner. Anyway, I went to
I dictate my story to the baby and the baby types it.
Probably types better than you already. When I was at WT, I had a sampler, if you will, and I said, let me have the sour beer. What does it taste like? And he said, it's sour.
people ask me, like, is it really sour? It's like, no, it is straight up sour.
It's not my thing.
Yeah, I got a buddy who's my buddy Garrett's big into sours, so I'm gonna take him one of these IPAs when I see him at the pool later. And by the way, I played golf behind the guy who started Untappd last weekend.
I don't know what Untappd is.
It's a website and an app where you could rate beers.
Oh, okay.
Really rich, and it was a smart thing to do, and I wish I'd thought of that. That's like a reasonable thing I could have thought of and come up with, right?
My accountant.
Yep. Instead, you're stuck doing 10 podcasts a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My accountant actually.
I'd be just playing golf all the time, rich as balls.
And getting free beers.
Can Ryan talk about his accountant or not? My God.
Are you ready?
I am.
He actually started a website, reviewing bourbon. He's like one of the biggest bourbon reviewers.
Oh, I remember this.
Yeah. So he's told me he has a
shout out, man. Why do you keep mentioning
the website name?
Breaking Bourbon. .com.
Great name.
Yeah, it came out whatever 4 or 5 years ago, so it was like perfect timing.
I started a website called cashcats.biz.
That's not true. Oh, shut up. No. Dude, have we not talked about this?
We have at some point.
Talked about it. You think I just thought of that? Sorry, Wilson. I just want to get Brinson.
Will Zweigert, my wife's ex-boyfriend, started it. Cashcats.biz.
Did you know that, Breach?
Did you know that? You're messing with me. Yeah, that's good.
No, we talked about this. Brinson, I didn't remember the specifics, but I remember we talked about that.
I don't know what we talked about. We talked about so much crap.
I thought you were going to say that the next plot point was going to be that Breach was AK's previous boyfriend. That would have been
I think that's funny. I was not laughing. I was just sort of diving into this breaking bourbon. Why? Again. I drink a lot of bourbon and I write for a living. Why did I not do this?
He's smart. They've actually, I think they've actually barreled their own bourbon as well. They've been to Kentucky. They did all the stuff you're supposed to do there. They have a podcast. They have the website, obviously, and they review. They have to turn down reviews from like celebrities because they have so much stuff going on. So
that's crazy. Does he make a lot of money doing it?
That I don't ask my accountant how much money he makes because he sees how much money I make. He's probably wondering what I'm doing with my money.
All right. Moving along. Phil Rivers noodle arm from Darren Meller. I'm going to ask the question that was never answered. Why did you get kicked off of Twitter, Will?
Great question, Darren.
Well, it's a mailbag. Let's go around the horn.
I would say, Darren, do you know that conspiracy theory about Jordan got suspended for gambling? I think Brinson, there's a thing with marble racing in February, blew the family savings. The wife suspended him from Twitter to get it all hashed out. And now he's back and you got your house back. I'm glad to see that, Brinson.
I think my theory.
It's not that far off, Breach.
He wasn't suspended. He was mad about something where he didn't get to go somewhere where Ryan got to go and a couple other people got to go. And as a petulant tool to get back, he decided, I'm not going to tweet about this thing. He then, me, Ryan, and Breach noticed and started bringing it up on every podcast. And he decided that he liked the attention and all the theories and the rumors going into it. So he was like, I'm just going to keep this going. And it was during a dead period. And once free agency started, he kind of started tweeting again. So I just think he liked – it was started as a petulant act, and then he liked the attention, everyone wondering, so he kept it going for the attention.
The petulant bearded baby, is that what you're calling it?
So you're saying it was a petulant act of defiance?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know what the end game was, though, if Sean's theory is correct, though. Who are you fighting the power against by not tweeting, if that's Sean's
– That's theory. A perfectly relevant question. I ask myself this all the time.
Do you really think about this a lot? God, look, I mean, I guess I have to truthfully answer, right?
I don't know if I know the truth. I don't know if I know the truth. Is Sean's on point?
It's pretty close. I just stopped tweeting for a couple of days.
You stopped tweeting for a month.
Well, I stopped tweeting for a couple of days. I was like, oh my God, my life improved. And, I had taken, so I have a bunch of friends who actually like have taken, like they don't delete their Facebook accounts or don't delete their Instagram accounts or their Twitter accounts, but they take the app off their phone. And so I found that when I wasn't tweeting, purposely wasn't tweeting, I was spending a lot less time in that Twitter app just scrolling meaninglessly. And I've noticed now, like I'm back to sort of doing it, and it's not good for your mental health. You know,
I'm with you 100% on that.
So like, especially right now, I mean, it is really easy. Like, and like, usually, like in, you know, like March, in late February in the NFL, if you cover the NFL, like you could like reload Twitter over and over again and like nothing will really pop up. Right now, like you reload Twitter and it's something new every time. And it's like a crazy video of something happening somewhere in this country. So, it's probably would be behoove me even more to, minimize the amount of time that I am on Twitter because it's just not good for you. It's just not good for your brain.
I have heard, I heard on the podcast, I don't know how true this is, but it wouldn't surprise me that, but the way we scroll, you know, you sort of pull down the screen.
Yeah.
That has no effect. It's just one of those things that it's an addictive habit.
Yes.
You keep doing it and you keep doing it. And that's sort of what your day ends
well,
up.
Well, the way it used to be on Twitter, it would like they changed it. It used to be a cascading, like consecutive, you know, tweet. Like it was in cascading chronological order. Now there's an algorithm that delivers tweets that they think that you will like and interact with based on what you have previously liked and interacted with. So when you're pulling down, it's not refreshing to give you the newest tweets. It's just reloading a bunch of tweets in the algorithm, so to speak. So yeah, it's just like Facebook. Like it's not like giving you the next thing that was posted.
I told you this the other day. I said, part of my Twitter experience is now going on Twitter looking for things to get angry about and then getting mad at myself when I find those things and I get angry. I mean, that's not.
That's a healthy mental relationship.
Yeah, that's not good for mental health.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take a, does that satisfy everybody?
Yeah. Finally, the truth is revealed.
Ms. Holmes.
Well, I think if anything, it's actually more muddled, but.
Inspector Wagner McGuff over here. Sherlock Sean.
Ooh. Sean Locke Holmes.
Sean Locke Holmes.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Love, writes Kirk209. Love the many shows a week. Gives me something to listen to every day while delivering mail. You'll love to see it. How do you think these guys' careers change if Peyton was on the Pats and Brady was on the Colts? That's a spicy one.
That feels like a breach question.
Well, I mean, look, I think one time there was the whole thing with someone said if Aaron Rodgers played in the Patriots offense with Belichick, he would put up like 7,000 yards. I think that if you put Peyton Manning on the Patriots, that they probably win 8 Super Bowls. I think that
– ooh, I like this.
No,
keep going.
I think that they tear it up. I think that – they win more than Brady and Belichick won. I know that sounds crazy. And I think if you put Brady in Indy, I think that's the more interesting scenario because Brady didn't get to continuously play with great receivers. You know, he had Randy Moss in 2007. There's a couple seasons where he had good receivers, but for the most part, he's had below average receiving corps. So if you give him Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison for most of his career and you throw in a couple of the good running backs that Indianapolis has had, I think Brady could have put up big numbers in that offense, and maybe he wins 2 or 3 with the Colts, but I think Manning's Patriots would beat Brady's Colts. So I'll give Brady 2 Super Bowls max with the Colts, and I'll give Peyton 8 Super Bowl wins max.
Peyton wins more Patriots. Super Bowls in New England. Indy wins more Super Bowls with Tom Brady.
But they can't have, they can't both because they're playing against each other.
No. But Indy only won 1 Super Bowl with Peyton Manning.
Oh, yeah. I'm saying I think Brady would win 1, but a maximum of 2. And I think Manning could match Brady at 6 with a maximum of 8.
What about the idea that Peyton is now outdoors in that crappy weather, his arm strength isn't great, and Tom's not playing indoors?
I mean, that is actually a good point.
Oh, thank you.
I'm gonna posit a real crazy theory here.
Tom Brady's going to be on the Mount Rushmore of Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
No. If Tom Brady goes to the Colts, he gets cut before he starts a game.
Oh, that's actually not terrible.
That's good.
That's less crazy than 8 Super Bowls for Peyton Manning.
Because the only reason he got in, I mean, like Scott Pioli was on this program leading up to the draft. Like they liked Tom Brady, but they had him like as a 4th or 5th round grade. Like they're not trying to change history. They didn't think he was a 1st round pick. Nobody did. And because of where he got drafted and because of the injury to Drew Bledsoe, Brady got a chance to go in there and play. And I don't know that another coach and another organization would have gotten the most out of Tom Brady. Like he might have been cut and ended up as a free agent and bounced around.
He sees him in Indianapolis. So is Ted Marchabrota a huge Tom Brady guy? I mean, that's a fair question.
Wait, who what?
I think Ted Marchabrota was a coach. Peyton's rookie season. I think that's right. I haven't looked yet.
Well, but
my point is, would he be a huge Brady guy?
Jim Mora was the coach.
Oh, Jim Mora was. Okay, sorry. Yeah. Would he be a huge Brady guy, even still?
Well, I just wonder. So, like, I guess the question is, what happens if – so let's say Peyton gets drafted by the Patriots, right? And Belichick comes around to coach him. You just have to, you know, kind of skip history and tie those two together. And then Brady is drafted, presumably in the sixth round by the Colts in 2000, right? Like, I don't think he makes the team. I mean, I don't know. I don't think he wins. I think history goes in a wildly different direction.
And real quick, this doesn't sort by weather, but Peyton Manning's stats, for what it's worth, are remarkably similar, whether he's indoors or outdoors. He actually has a slightly higher winning percentage at 69%, or roughly 70% if you round up, compared to 68% indoors. So, and if you look at his stats, they're a little bit down outdoors, but it's roughly the same.
One other factor to consider here, Peyton Manning, not known for taking massive discounts.
Well, no, that's true.
Oh, right. You know,
like Tom Brady took a lot less money. Tom Condon, Peyton Manning's agent, does not take less money for his quarterback, for his guys. I mean, Breeze is taking a little bit less from the Saints these past few years, but I mean, largely you would expect that he would squeeze some money out of them. And I would posit that, you know, you say Peyton Manning would win 8 Super Bowls with the Patriots. I think Bill Belichick would have gotten rid of him sooner than the Colts did.
I don't think so. So here's my other part of this, is that Peyton Manning only lost 79 games in his career. 16% of the losses in his career were to the Patriots.
That's crazy.
13 of those 79 losses were to one team. And then you have the other 66 losses scattered over 31 teams. So he's averaging basically 2 losses per team and then 13 to the Patriots. And so now if you're on the Patriots, you're not losing those 13 games. You're not losing these games to Indy that may or may not have Tom Brady. I think you're destroying everyone. And I think they easily win 8 Super Bowls. And now I think they win 10 Super Bowls. That's all. Ryan, I said that Peyton Manning lost 79 games in his career and 13 of them were to the Patriots. So if you take that factor out and now he's on the Patriots, he's not losing at all. He's got like 300 wins and 40 losses.
I mean, he played 13 years with the Colts. His, by the way, this is something to keep in mind when you start seeing guys. Peyton Manning led the league, in passing attempts in 2010 with 679, and then had the neck issues. Remember, Big Ben led the league in passing attempts, these older quarterbacks in their early to mid 30s, maybe don't let them throw the ball 650 times. Just a thought. But Manning,
I'm sorry. Do you think that Peyton actually thinks about the point the Breach just made? Like if he had been somewhere else and Tom Brady wasn't in New England, like
sure.
I
think he thought about it for 18 holes last week because right. He was walking around with Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods and Phil feels the same way. Like why couldn't I have been born 10 years later and not have to play against Tiger in his prime for the entirety of my prime?
Because he would be the best quarterback ever.
If Peyton wins 4 Super Bowls, he's probably the greatest quarterback of all time.
Well, right? that's the same as Joe Montana and Terry Bradshaw. He's better than Terry Bradshaw. Would he be better than Joe Montana?
I just mean like statistically and because of all his MVPs, I think people would. And if he wins 4 Super Bowls, presumably Brady doesn't have 6, you know?
Exactly.
Ryan, is Ryan's volume low or is that just me? Okay. Sorry. Speak into the mic, pal.
Got it. I was excited about Breach's theory.
Okay. Next. I love this podcast, writes Elias the Bozo. You're not a bozo, pal. Hi, I love this podcast, and it's really helpful to hear about football in these hard times. I was wondering if you could answer one of my questions. Do you think that Daniel Jones could lead the Giants to a wild card or playoff berth in one of the next 2 seasons? Thanks.
Yeah.
No.
Absolutely.
100%. I mean, you got Saquon. We'll see if Evan Ingram hangs around. Of course, I don't remember their draft class, any wide receivers. I have to look that up. But, I mean, their offense is such that it shouldn't be terrible. I think the biggest thing isn't Daniel Jones, because we saw glimpses of him being okay. It's how's Joe Judge going to be as a coach? Because I think that's the big issue.
I almost have more concerns with the front office than Joe Judge. And that's the point, is that it's not just Daniel Jones. Like even if he ascends in the next 2 years, he needs help. And last year he did not have that much, and I criticized him a lot for the fumbles and stuff, but the offensive line wasn't good. They got rid of Odell Beckham as soon as he got there, so he needs support if that's going to come true.
I think, I mean, look, the NFL is kind of random. He's a good player. He can take a step forward in his second year and certainly in his third year. Maybe if he takes a step back this year, he takes a big leap forward in the third year. We've seen that with plenty of players. Evan Engram needs to be healthy. They need to run the ball better with Saquon Barkley. And the defense needs to get better. I think the defense is probably maybe a bigger concern than Daniel Jones's play. Like, if that defense continues to stink and it can't stop anybody, they're not going to go very far.
Brenton, I wish I had a rewind button. Do you know how many things you just named have to happen for the Giants to be good? Like 17. The odds of all those things happening in the next 2 years, I don't want to say 0% because then this audio will be thrown in my face in 2 years and they get to the playoffs. But it's very low. And Daniel Jones, at best, over the next 2 years, is going to be the third best quarterback in this division. I don't see, unless Dak Prescott signs somewhere else, which I will keep open that possibility because, the last two quarterbacks that played under the franchise tag ended up leaving after the franchise tag year. Kirk Cousins, left Washington. Drew Brees left the Chargers. So let's not rule that possibility out. But if Dak stays with the Cowboys, Daniel Jones is the third best quarterback, and you're not winning. You're not going to the playoffs with the third best quarterback.
Here's the thing,
that
breach. I don't.
So he's behind what, Dak and Jalen Hurts,
and Carson Wentz. So I guess third quarterback, third best.
Eagles. So, breach. You could argue the third best quarterback led the Vikings to the playoffs in the NFC North last year.
I could also argue the best quarterback, and I mean, it depends how you feel about Aaron Rodgers. And Matt Stafford was injured.
Exactly. So people get hurt.
I could say that Cousins was the, you could make the argument that Cousins was the best quarterback in the division last year.
Sean would make that argument. No one else would.
I think a lot of people would. I mean, it sounds like Breach is making the argument right now. You can't say Stafford is better. I mean, he was when he played, but he only played 8 games and that matters. And I think Kirk Cousins was better than Aaron Rodgers last year alone.
Fair enough. What about this? At the beginning of the last season, where would you have ranked Ryan Tannehill in quarterbacks in the AFC South?
Dead last.
Of course. So my point,
right? he was a backup quarterback, though. He wouldn't have been in the ranking. We would have been ranking starters. In what world are we ranking backup quarterbacks?
He would have been like one of the best backup quarterbacks in football if we did those rankings.
What about Marcus Mariota then? Where are you ranking him in that division?
Daniel Jones could take a leap and become the second best quarterback in that division next year.
Over who?
Either Wentz or Dak.
Yeah.
Which one?
Both. Either one. Both.
I mean, it's not.
I just think the Giants have too many holes and the quarterback isn't above average enough to make up for the holes they have.
There's going to be 7 playoff teams, or 14 teams, 14 playoff spots over the next 2 years in the NFC.
That's a weird flex by an Andy Dalton supporter.
I know.
What?
I mean, come on.
And the NFC East is garbage.
At least Andy Dalton's been to the playoffs.
Yeah, he bought it just like you and me did. And
Daniel Jones has played 1 year.
And he led the NFL in fumbles. He had the most fumbles of any quarterback in like 20 years.
In 12 games.
You know what this is? This is Breach by 3,000 sticking up for the Cowboys.
Daniel Jones has 459 career passing attempts and the same number of playoff wins as Andy Dalton.
Whoa. This guy didn't ask if these teams are going to win a playoff game. He asked if they're getting to the playoffs. Andy Dalton got there 4 times, Brenton. How many times did Cam Newton, your boy, get there?
Super Bowl breach. What are you
getting personal now?
How many times did the 2015 MVP get your team to the Super Bowl? Yeah, not once. Thanks for asking.
Cam went to the playoffs. Wait, how many times did they go? He went to 3 Pro Bowls, and they went to the playoffs. You hate to see it. 4 times.
Tied with Dalton.
You're dead. I should point out that somebody just left this iTunes review. If you leave a 5-star Apple Podcast review, we will mention it for a mailbag if you want to ask us a question. Oh my God, Boat LOL writes, oh my God, Brinson just called Kirk Cousins one of the 5 most accurate quarterbacks in NFL history. LOL, ha ha ha. This needs to be recorded, recognized, and discussed. Please, ha ha ha. I don't know if you guys have been to
This is my stat that I pointed out to you, but go ahead. You forgot about it.
I didn't forget about it. I mentioned it. I know.
You gave it to me? Good.
I don't know if I mentioned it to you, but if you go to profootballreference.com, pro-football-reference.com, technically, they have a leaderboard, and you can look up the career leaders for pass completion percentage in first place, a little fella named Drew Brees. And in second place, who is it, Ryan?
Herbie Cousins.
Oh, what a big jam. Wallace took it in his hands and said, up and away. 52, Dunkaroos.
Now, who was the commenter that left that?
That's right. I just dunked on a listener.
What was their
name? It was Boat LOL.
Boat LOL. In his or her defense, I was shocked when I first saw that stat too, because I think I brought it up on the Brady Quinn podcast during the season. Brady seemed pretty surprised as well. So I understand that, but actually, according to the math, Kirby does complete a lot of passes.
Now, I think he took it as more like I'm saying he's one of the most accurate passers I've ever seen, which is not what I'm saying. He just has a really, really high completion percentage, the second highest NFL history. And look, when you start talking about moderate, like Dak Prescott is fourth.
Yeah, I was going to say that would surprise people. I think what's also interesting, Peyton Manning and Tony Romo had the exact same completion percentage in their careers.
Well, I think the thing you have to point out is that the modern passing game is a lot safer because they dink and dunk. And that the highest ranked quarterback on this completion percentage list that did not play at all in the 2000s is Steve Young, and he's tied for 12th.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like it's almost
like Derek Carr is 15th.
Right.
And the only guy who's like the only two guys who are older, like real true throwbacks that are in the top 10, Chad Pennington, nice. Who is a king of dink and dunks, and favorite food. If you guys remember this from the Monday Night Football broadcast, biscuits and gravy. And then Kurt Warner, former MVP and Pro Football Hall of Famer, who played in a modern style offense that was ahead of its time in the greatest show on turf.
Matt Schaub is ranked ahead of Joe Montana.
That's all the league in passing one year. Moving along. Steelers ceiling. Love the pod. This is from Maddie L847 on Apple Podcast. Been a long time listener and also love the Dick Vitale dunk soundbite. Oh! My question is, what is the responsible floor and ceiling for the Steelers? Thanks, your biggest fan.
That's funny that Maddie L847 identifies himself as our biggest fan.
That's cool. I like it.
Yeah.
You disagree? You trying to dunk on him?
And I was like, who would you submit?
No. I just love the fact that, you know, something like the Pick Six Pod has a biggest fan.
We have spoof Twitter accounts. That's when you know you made it, when you got parody Twitter accounts.
Two wins over Wilson accounts, a couple of Breach Analogy accounts. Sean Long-Winded accounts are out there too.
Is there a Sean Long-Winded?
Sean McFun Fact, I believe. Yeah. They use that horrible photo.
How come I don't have any fake? Why, there's nothing for me?
That's true. You're the only one that doesn't have one.
Mm. At Brinson's toupee.
Hey. I will say this. The Sean Long-Winded account is actually Sean's real account.
I was going to say it's my movie news.
All it does is tweet about his movie newsletter and brand new. And it subscribe, is unbearable.
Stop. Responsible.
Hey, I also dunk on Clay Travis every once in a while.
Yeah, you do that.
And then you dunk and delete on Dave Portnoy.
Yes, well, those people are crazy.
You get Clay Travis stands in your mention when you dunk on Travis?
No, that's the thing. You don't get – most people on the internet think he's an idiot.
No.
All right, there you go. That's Sean, who is not Clay Travis's biggest fan. Responsible floor for the Steelers. If you told me they won six games, I would believe it, even though
Debo informs you, by the way, there is a thread on the Facebook group for new Dunk Dunk clips.
Oh, okay.
So if you've got a good Dunk Dunk clip that you'd like to hear incorporated, as we sort of rotate them around because we don't want to wear out Dickie V, although we don't really get that many complaints. And the Dickie V, he's like, oh, what a big jam. I smile every time I hear it. But if you want to get new Dunk Dunk clips, go to the Facebook thread. Or go to the thread of the Facebook group. Go to facebook.com, search for Pick Six Podcast, and check that out there.
Yeah, I was going to say six wins seems like a reasonable floor if Big Ben gets hurt, even though Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. I don't think he can recreate what happened last year with eight wins with that duo playing quarterback. Someone brought this up to me also. I wonder if now that it sounds like teams are going to be going back to the facility, if Jadeveon Clowney, more importantly for the Steelers purposes, someone like Cam Newton will get signed sooner rather than later. That would mitigate the idea of a six win season. But if they're lights out, I mean, I think 11 wins seems certainly doable with that offense. Big Ben is, if he's, you know, something close to what he was before he got hurt.
I do not want to have to be the guy that is more optimistic than Ryan with the Steelers ceiling, but my God, I have to do it. I think their ceiling is 12 wins. I think they could hit 12-4 if Roethlisberger is healthy. And you know what? If Mike Tomlin somehow willed that team of Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges to 8-8, I don't really think the floor can be much lower than that. So I'd say 7 wins is the floor.
So if Big Ben is hurt and they just rolled Mason Rudolph, who wins more games, the Steelers or the Bengals?
If Big Ben is hurt and Mason Rudolph is playing?
Bengals.
I say Bengals.
All right. I mean, I can't get mad at you about that, but okay.
We recorded an Eagles podcast last week, and Shiel Kapadia was on from The Athletic, and he actually, like, out of nowhere, was, like, throwing the Bengals some love. He thinks they could be a sneaky playoff team.
Did Debo get him back on track talking about the Eagles?
Yeah, Debo Piper was like, shut up about the Bengals.
I hear enough about it from Breach. Yeah. But let me just ask you this. Here is the Steelers' first 6 games. At the Giants, very winnable. Broncos in Pittsburgh, very winnable. Texans in Pittsburgh, very winnable. At Tennessee, very winnable. Philadelphia in Pittsburgh, very winnable. Browns in Pittsburgh, very winnable.
Yeah, but we say this every year, and they lose a lot of those games. And the Steelers historically start slow under Tomlin, which is incredibly annoying for Steelers fans. So,
and they always lose that one road game to the terrible team. They lost to, like, the Glennon Bears, I want to say. That
so they're going to lose to the Giants in week 1, is that what you're saying?
Can you imagine losing to the Mike Glennon Bears? No offense.
The Mike Glennon Bears that did not sign Colin Kaepernick.
That's true.
According to Akeem Hicks.
Yeah.
A little upset about that.
Slightly.
Okay. Finally, Mailbag Monday. This is from Rocco Lincioni from Apple Podcast. Hey, guys, I'm an 8th grader from Montana. Rocco from Montana. I love it. 8th grade. Shout out to Rocco. I love Montana. I love basketball, but I did play football this past year. I'm a receiver, and we went undefeated. Congratulations. Believe it or not, I can also kick pretty well. I only missed one PAT all year. Any ideas on how to stay in shape for both football and basketball? Also wanted to add, Dickie V is hilarious and makes me laugh every time, even though he is extremely annoying. Thank you for listening, Rocco. Montana, I went horseback riding for 2 weeks in Montana when I was a kid.
Do you know how to ride horses properly, or that was just something you did as a little kid?
No, I don't ride horses. Western. I don't do like English or side
style. You don't do English style?
No, I'm a Western man.
What's the difference?
We had horses on our farm growing up.
That's 100% believable.
Well, Western is like a cowboy saddle, and English is like a little, like, sort of flat riding, like, you know, you put on the little hat and you're.
How do you do it when you're playing polo?
That would be English, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Western's like, you know, you got like a horn on the front of the saddle and you're like crossing through creeks and stuff. English is.
You don't have a horn on the English saddle?
It might be like a little, like, leather knob.
I just need to know this because I'm going to go play pickup polo a little later. I want to make sure I have the right saddle.
yeah, you would want an English saddle, for polo. We had a Tennessee Walker growing up and an Appaloosa.
Hmm. Yeah, I think we grew up next door to you. Sounds about right.
It was on a farm. My parents got my brother a horse for Christmas one time.
Did he like it or not?
Yeah. Well, I went out and there was like a $50, like, crappy little remote control car. Don't get me wrong. I mean, like, this sounds terrible. Like, it was like, oh, this is cool. Like, remote control car. And they're like, Charlie, go outside. There's your present. It was a horse. It's like, okay. It's pretty clear which child you'd like more. And that's only been proven to be true more and more.
Much better that year than you were.
I did just like Charlie more. My dad was a younger brother, so I think he's got a soft spot for my younger brother.
Cool. Didn't know that about you. You could ride horses.
Yeah. Anyway, Montana. I was going to say, as far as like staying in shape information.
Why are kids asking us how to stay in shape?
I don't know. I do like to hear from the younger listeners though, because it reminds me that, you know, like, sometimes you're doing the podcast and you feel like you can do, you know, say whatever you want. And it's a reminder that we do have a younger audience that oftentimes tunes in. Sean, you have to go do HQ in a few minutes. Why don't you give us your answer on how you stay in shape?
If you're trying to do it for multiple sports, and this is not what I do now, but when I actually used to play sports, if you're doing weights, I would focus more on core stuff as opposed to like bulking up, because maybe that it depends what positions you're playing. It might not mesh with basketball and both football if you get super bulky.
Kicker, receiver, and basketball is not you don't want to beef up those arms.
So I would focus on, like, if you're doing weights, always make it like cardio weights and always keep moving, make it like a circuit and focused on getting your core strong, because that works in every single sport. And the other thing I would say is that everyone always talks about working out, but I think it's like, it's eating, right? And I get, as an eighth grader though, a lot of that is probably down to like your parents and like what they are bringing home and providing you.
By the way, Sean, I didn't remember this, but at that age, all you're doing, you're eating 10,000 calories a day, and it's just whatever's in front of you. I think you care less at that point. Maybe your body cares less at that point that it's healthy.
But yeah, you just don't gain weight.
Exactly. Yeah. But also by eating healthy at that age, even when your body can handle the bad stuff, it does help to build habits for later in life, because I grew up in an extremely healthy household. Not allowed to have soda, not allowed to have fast food. Like, I have very vivid memories of the first time in my life I tried like Coke. I tried McDonald's, like Coca-Cola. I tried all these things. I think people
clip and save
because I was not allowed to have it at home. And so
I want to ask you, did that explain why you got a little heavy in that picture we saw of you at the school paper?
Yeah. Cause when I went to college, that was mostly because I was working 40 hours a week at the Daily Cow in addition to classes. And so I had to eat out every single
day. I just thought you realized
there were 14 or 15 humble brags in that answer.
Even Brent's, it's like, okay, that's too much humble brag.
What do you want me to do? I'm talking about my own experiences. It's not my fault.
Did your sister ever give you any tips? Your sister, who's a college soccer coach, give you any tips on how to stay in shape?
No, not really. Again, it wasn't like I didn't run into those problems until college. It's just I was
getting into really good shape, not just staying, not just.
No, because it was never, because my parents were like, my parents made me join like swim team as a kid, even though not for swimming, but because they just wanted me to swim because it's a good workout. And I used to hate it, despise it, get sick before every practice, but they made me do that kind of stuff.
I think the eating thing is really interesting though. I mean, like, you know, Sean, you're obviously younger. But like, and Ryan Breach can probably attest to this. I mean, growing up in the '80s, like, you know, there wasn't like a healthy food movement. You just ate
Dunkaroos and Twinkies. That's all you ate.
Just ate crap.
Pastry strudels.
I mean, like, strudels.
In the '80s though, like it was just like people didn't consider fast food to be like a problematic option. Whereas.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say that like, yeah, if you can, if you have an influence in that and you can sort of push your parents towards a healthier lifestyle, like dive in on avocados and salmon and, you know, stuff like that, you know, all sorts of different deliciousness, you know, that things that, I mean, like, eat tomatoes, or I guess Tom Brady says don't eat tomatoes, but you get the point.
I didn't know that.
I'm saying you can eat tomatoes.
Tomatoes are a nightshade. That's why.
Yeah. Tom Brady. Eggplant also.
Yeah. What happens?
That's like inflammation or something. I don't know.
Tom Brady believes that the tomatoes disrupt his circadian rhythm.
Let me ask you. Let me put it this way. If our buddy, the eighth grader here, is eating tomatoes, the inflammation that he's getting from all the sugar he's eating, it won't matter with the tomatoes. Go crazy on tomatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just eat. Find good, healthy food that you can do and work on your core. Is the
also answer. Secretly funny. Rocco actually knows who Dickie V is.
Why would he not know who Dickie V is?
Everyone knows who Dickie V is.
Does he even still do games, Dickie V?
Yeah.
I don't know. He's been around so long, I thought he retired.
Is Tiger Woods still playing golf?
All right, I got to go to HQ.
Anyway, we're going to end the podcast now. That's it. That's the show. Talk to you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.